Whatever. Okay. So he said, "Vayhi l'shevach hamered." I have the ox, the donkey, tain, the sheep, ve'evid v'shivcha, the servant and the maid servant. Ve'ashlecha la'agid la'adeni. I'm sending this group to you. Why l'msechein ve'inecha, to find favor in your eyes. There's a question in the Gemara: if you're allowed to flatter wicked people in this world, are you allowed to flatter wicked people? And one of the proofs that you could, that's from Yaakov flattering Esav. Some people want to say it wasn't really flattering. What Yaakov is really doing, he's telling the wicked person, it's like a guy that wants to kill you, and you say to him, when you're talking to him, you say, "Oh, yeah, I know the king very well." You know, so the guy gets afraid to kill you, because then the king might find out about it. So you see, as we see in the Psukim later on, Yaakov from one side is flattering Esav, and from the other side he's not flattering him to such an extent. But also here was the Shalif Pikoch Nefesh of danger, and that he wanted to do it.
What?
Because Gemara says one of the four groups that don't have see the Shechina, one of the groups the Gemara says is Katchanofim, people that flatter other people. Because it's a lie. There was once a politician came to the Rebbe. I heard a tape of it. It was very nice. Politicians in New York always go to the leader, to the rabbis, because they think they're going to get a lot of votes. So this one politician, very prominent politician, came to the Rebbe, and he starts telling the Rebbe how great the Rebbe is. So the Rebbe says in the tape, "Stop flattering me. I'm not running for office." It's a very... "Stop flattering me, I'm not running for office." But, because it's false.
Yeah, a lot of you do this kind of things for someone, and that's usually when you do it.
Yeah, but it has to be done in a way that it's real, not fake. Not a lie. I mean, flattering is, you know, tell a person how great they are when they're not. Praise has to be done in a way, whether you're praising a child or whatever it is, it has to be done in a way that it's true. Because if you do it in a way of lies, then you're not doing the kid any benefit.
Yeah, but what about the positive reinforcement?
Yeah, positive reinforcement of what they have, not what they don't have. Positive reinforcement is to praise a person with what they have, not with what they don't have. What you'd like them to have? So you're praising them for the good that they did now.
Sure.
Yeah. You don't praise a kid, you always behave. When they do something good, you say, "Oh, what you did now is very wonderful." But you don't say, "Oh, you always behave." I mean, you know, then the kid sees you're basically lying, because the kid knows you that they don't behave. Yeah, that's called flattering, no? In America, it's called kissing up. In proper English, it's called flattering. V'amech kulum tzaddikim. They are a tzaddik. The pasuk says it's tzaddikim. The pasuk says it's tzaddikim.
All the Jews tzaddikim.
Okay. So he says, why is he doing it? L'msechem be'inecha, that to tell you, to find favor in your eyes, that I'm coming to ask your forgiveness, or whatever you want me to do is what I'll do. Okay, so that's what basically Yaakov is saying to him. But Yeshuva Malachim, the angels came, El Yaakov Leimer, to Yaakov saying, and this is what, this pasuk is what the causes Rabbeinu Bechaya to learn, that he sent real Malachim. Because when it says, this is what you should tell Esav, the pasuk doesn't say that he sent them. The opening pasuk says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, Yaakov sent. Right? But then later it's a Vayeshuva Malachim. So Rabbeinu Bechaya said, how could they return before he sent them? So therefore he learns it had to be angels. So Rabbeinu Bechaya learns. In Pshat, it's not a question, because Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim means he sent them. Then he told them before he sent them, he told them what to say. But then he sent them. And now the Malachim came back. So it's not really, in pshat, it's not really a proof. Yeshuva Malachim, the Malachim came back, El Yaakov Leimer, to Yaakov saying, Banu al Achicha, we came to your brother, but El Esav, he's really Esav. He's not acting like your brother. You might think he's your brother. In fact, therefore, he said before, Esav Achiv, he says, go to my brother. They say to him, you might think he's your brother, but he's not Achicha, he's really Esav. V'gam Helech L'Krascha, and he's also going back, he's coming to meet you. V'arba Meis Ishimei, there's 400 people with him. Now the question is, why did he bring so many people? He needed 400 people. So the end, what?
I'm sorry, did Yaakov then, when he sent the Melachim, did he send a gift along with the Melachim? With the angels?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the Pasuk says, I'm sending it, Vashlacha Vashlacha, I'm sending these animals, they should find favor in your eyes. But the Mepharshim say, why did Esav need so many people? It's an answer, a very simple reason. Esav didn't want to hurt Yitzchak's feelings of killing Yaakov, right? He respected his father. So what Esav expected to do is to kill Yaakov, but to tell Esav, to tell his father Yitzchak, I didn't do it. It became such a commotion and such a tumult, and my buddy stuck up for me that they killed Yaakov, but I was really against it. So he brought a big crowd. They should be able to have an excuse that it's a whole commotion, and therefore Yitzchak couldn't get angry at Esav for killing Yaakov. He brought an army of 400 people. But as we'll learn later, they all left him. He didn't think that way. He didn't think he's going to know. In this respect, he wouldn't know. It's very because it sounds logical that 400 people would kill, somebody from the 400 would kill him. The Malachim came back. The Kleyoker explains the Malachim came back. They thought there's a pasuk that says "Kamayim apanim lepanim." The same way you like somebody, that's the way they like you back. Like when you look into water, you see your reflection. So the Pasuk Shlema Melech says, "Kamayim apanim lepanim," just like the reflection you see when you look in water. That's the relationship with people. Usually, if you like somebody, they also like you. That's the way, usually the way it works. So the Malachim came and said, you're sending gifts to Esav because you want to treat him like a brother. But obviously here it's not working because he's still acting like Esav. He's not acting like your brother. And not only that, but he's actually going with 400 people. Vayira Yaakov Ma'ed, Yaakov became very scared. And he became oppressed by it. And Rashi explains, he became frightened and distressed. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Maybe he will get killed, or maybe he will have to kill others. And Yaakov didn't want to kill others either. So that's where the pasuk says two things over here. Yaakov was afraid that he might get killed. So all the Mefarshim ask, I, Hashem, promised him, I'm going to bring you back to the land. Hashem promised him, I'm going to bring you back to the land. What's he afraid of? Says alive. No, he said alive. So he said, there's two answers. Number one, Yaakov Avinu thought maybe sin caused him to lose that merit. Maybe he sinned in Laban's house. And the second answer, like it says later on in the Pasuk, that when God promised Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to bring you back, Yaakov was all alone. Yaakov was alone. So the promise was only for Yaakov. Here, Yaakov's coming back with a whole family, with a bunch of kids and a whole bunch of things. So therefore, Yaakov might be afraid, maybe the bracha is not effective for them also. That's what he was afraid of. Not that he will be killed, but rather he meaning his children, his wives, because they were never promised the thing. The Rebbe brings down in a famous sikh about bitachon. The Rebbe brings down one opinion in the Medrash that says that Yaakov really did something wrong here. He lost, he didn't have real bitachon in Hashem. And the Rebbe explains in the sikh that the definition of bitachon really is, like the Tzemach Tzedek said the expression, Ametracht gut, but sein gut, meaning if you think positive, it will become positive. The Rebbe explains, by thinking positive, it makes it positive. Not only bitachon means, I trust God that he's going to do it good. Trusting in God that it's going to be good, makes the outcome good. And it says in the Medrash that that level of bitachon, Yaakov Avinu was lacking. You can learn from his mistakes.
I will.
Huh? There is a level by tzaddikim of chet from the expression of lacking. A tzaddik cannot do an active sin. But a tzaddik, even Meisher Rabbeinu, v'atachasreu ma'at melikim, Meisher Rabbeinu was also missing from godliness. See, this always quotes the pasuk in Malachim, I believe it is, V'haya ani ubni shloimei chatoim kol hayomim. David HaMelech says, me and my son Shlomo are going to be sinners. Chatoim simply means sinners, are all our days. So Chassidus asked a very simple question. David HaMelech had no Yetzirah. How could he sin? He says, Libi cholah b'kirbi. He killed his Yetzirah. So how could David HaMelech sin? So Chassidus proves from many, many psukim, including that pasuk, that the concept of chait means something lacking. Not sin, but if you're lacking from what you should be, then that's called a chait. In English, it's defined as a sin, but it's not really a sin. A sin is more when you actively do something wrong. A chait is basically when you lack something. For instance, that's what you have, even in Lashon Kodesh, you have chet, avein, and pesha. If you're davening Yom Kippur, you know, you say chatasi, avisi, pashati. There are various levels when you bang yourself, okay? Now, pashati, there's chet, avein, and pesha. Okay? Those are the three words for sin. Pesha comes from the word pshio, which means negligence. That means an active negligent sin. You know it's wrong and you do it anyway. Avein is azei kacha kacha, in between. And chet, also in a deeper sense, means something lacking. By tzaddikim, it's shayach, the concept of lacking. It's not shayach, the inyan of a sin. If Yaakov Avinu didn't have the ultimate level of bitachon, right, it's lacking the ultimate level of kedusha. That's possible even by the Merkava. Because if they wouldn't be lacking, how can they become better and better and better? If they never lack anything, how can you become better? Even Meisher Rabbeinu says, "Vatchasrei ma'at melikim," you're still lacking. So even by tzaddikim, it's shaykh lacking. They worked with themselves; they reached a higher level eventually. But at that stage, Yaakov Avinu was lacking. The Medrash says, according to one opinion, the ultimate level of bitachon. The ultimate level of bitachon, which is tracht good, v'zayin good. By thinking good, it becomes good. And it's avoided. It's very complicated.
And you hear 400 people coming looking for you. And even 4 people is not looking for you this time.
There's a letter that Rebbe being done in another Sicha. There's a letter from the Friedeke Rebbe that describes bitochen, trust. He said if somebody's drowning and there's a thin straw, you know what a straw is?
It's graben.
Right? There's a thin straw. Now, obviously, if you grab onto the straw, it's not going to keep you up, right? But the Friedrich Rebbe writes in the letter that the Rebbe quotes in another Chelek in Lukot Tosichos, that if there is a person is drowning and there's a straw in the water, it's not real bitachon because it's still a straw. Real bitachon is when there's no straw, and there's no way out, and there's no possibility of getting saved, and you still trust that God's going to save you. There's a famous joke.
That's right.
You tell, there was a guy, there was a flood, okay, and the water was getting higher. So, a rowboat came, and said, come into the boat, I'll save you. No, I have trust in God. God's going to save me. The water gets higher. A bigger boat comes and says, come, come, I'm going to save you. No, I trust in God. The water's getting higher. All of a sudden, a helicopter comes and throws down a wire and says, come, pull on the car, I'll save you. I trust in God. So, the guy drowned, comes up to God and says, God, I understand, you're not fair. Look how much trust I had in you. You didn't save me. God says, I didn't save you? I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What do you mean I didn't save you?
God saved them,
God helped
themselves.
You have to be talking, as God will save, but you have to take the opportunities. You have to utilize the opportunities. You're right. What?
God saved them who helped themselves, huh?
But it says that Yaakov sent Esau with Malachim, and Rashi says that they're a real Malachim.
Which is true.
Right.
But Esau has to be at the level of seeing now, otherwise what's the point of sending something Esau can't grasp?
First of all, it was Malachim that could have come into a physical form by Esau. Like just like the Malachim came to Avram Avinu, and Light, how did Light see the Malachim? They came in a physical form. By Avram Avinu, they came in a physical form. I mean, that's preposterous what it is. Or else, you're right, that he wouldn't be able to do anything with them.
You're doing, God will help you.
Okay, another interpretation.
That's the basic one.
The Daskin Maltesa says another beautiful interpretation of the word Vayetzer. He says, Yaakov was afraid, Vayetzelai, and he was depressed. Yeah? Distressed. So the Daskin Maltesa says, why was Vayetzer means he was depressed? He felt bad. He said, why did he feel bad? Because he was afraid. Vayira Yaakov Ma'ed, Yaakov was very afraid of Esav. Vayetzelai, and it bothered him that he was afraid of Esav. That's Kim Balatais brings down. His boss bothered him that he was lacking in that bitachon. Which, by the way, that itself made him have that bitachon. So it was. That's one opinion. Another opinion, Das Kim Balatais says, why was Yaakov Vayetzer? Vayetzer means he felt bad. Like, distressed. He felt bad. So first he was afraid and then he felt bad. So Daskin and Maltesa said another reason why Yaakov felt bad. Yaakov thought that Yitzchak died now. When did Esav say he's going to kill Yaakov? When Yitzchak dies. Now he sees that he's coming to kill him. So he says, oy vey, that means, number one, I'm afraid I'm going to get killed. Vayetzela, he says he was afraid, but that means he was upset. That means Yitzchak died. And that bothered him tremendously also. So that's again the double expression. That's the also Daskin Malatesa says. Okay, so now the Malachim came and they said, Vayira Yaakov Meir Vayetzelai, he's very afraid. Vayachat says, Sa'am Asherita, he divided up the nation which was with him. Vesatzein, vesabokev, agmalim, the cattle, the sheep, the cattle, and the camels, the shnei machnes into two camps. There's a lot of, I mean, here he goes and elaborates in like four or five pages. What was Yaakov really afraid of? Did God not promise him? I mean, what's going on? Yaakov is a big tzaddik. Hashem obviously promised him, I'm going to bring you home. So what actually went on? So there's a lot of different answers. One answer is that Yaakov understood for 22 years he didn't have the schus of kibud av va'em. He didn't honor his parents for 22 years. Number two, he says, Esav did. Number two, Esav lived in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Which was again, something for Esav against Yaakov. Another thing Yaakov was afraid of, the Klei Yoker says, that he made a covenant with Lavan. Why is he making a covenant with Lavan? When Avram made a covenant with Yitzchak, he made a covenant with Avimelech, before in Chumash, Hashem was very upset that he made it. So what are you making covenants with enemies for? Yaakov made a covenant with Lavan. So again, Yaakov thought, maybe I sinned. Maybe I did something wrong. Because the question is, we're saying that he was afraid because maybe he sinned, yet he himself said in Lavan Garti that he kept all the mitzvahs. So he didn't sin. So what is the sin? Some of us should learn. The fact that Yaakov made a covenant with Lavan caused Yaakov to be afraid maybe he did something wrong, that he's going to lose this chus. Another thing it says, Yaakov Avinu says also, if God will be with me, im yelokim imadi. So again, he was afraid maybe he made a condition over there. And secondly, he's liable that Hashem could undo a decree. Another thing is, Rambani brings on over here, okay, he quotes the Rambam says that many times God will make a promise to an individual and God will retract it. When Hashem makes a public through a prophet to say a public thing, if it's good, God will never retract it. Bad prophecies, God will retract if the Jews do tshuva. Good prophecies that are public, God never retracts them. Why? Because if God starts retracting prophecies that he gives, then there's no validity to prophecy anymore. Then prophets don't mean anything. God can keep changing his mind, so when a prophet says something, it doesn't mean anything. He might be right, he might be wrong, it doesn't mean anything. So therefore, the Rambam says that a public prophecy of God, that God tells the prophets to tell others, that God will never take back.
Not destroying the world.
Correct. Good prophecies, God will never retract. Prophecies, though, to an individual, if the individual didn't live up to God's expectations, so the God will take it away. I mentioned in the past, there was a thing from the Rebbe once. There was a week the Rebbe said he's not going to Fabreng. It was Parshas Vayigash. There was an encounter then of college students that came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said he's not Fabrenging that week. The Rebbe said clearly he's not Fabrenging. So a lot of guys left for Shabbos, people that always walk in from Borough, you know, from the various areas, no, they didn't come in because the Rebbe said he's not Fabrenging. The Rebbe Fabrenged that week. And the Rebbe started off the Fabrenging. I was there then, it was a long time ago. The Rebbe Fabrenged, he started off the Fabrenging by saying, how could I Fabreng when I said I'm not? I'm changing my words. So the Rebbe brought a proof from that parsha, Vayigash, that you're allowed to change your words for good. Not for bad, only for good. In Parshas Vayigash, what happened over there? When the brothers, it was Miketz. It wasn't Vayigash. Vayigash already, it was Miketz. Parshas Miketz. So the Rebbe said, in Parshas Miketz, it says that Yosef, when the brothers, you know, they came, and Yosef said, you're a bunch of spies, and you're lying, and, you know, this whole thing, you came to destroy us. So Yosef said to the brothers, okay, listen to me. I'm going to lock you all up. One of you guys will go home and bring your brother Binyamin. And when you bring Binyamin, I'll let you all go home. They slept overnight. Yosef comes the next morning and says, you know, guys, Esolikim ani yorei, I fear God. You know what? You can all go home except one. First he said, I'm going to lock you all up except one should go home. The next day he changed his mind and he said, you know what? All of you go home except one. So from there you see that you're allowed to change for the positive, but not for the negative. The Rebbe didn't do a trick. For whatever reason it is, he decided to Fabreng. First he said no, and then he decided to change it for the good. And that you're allowed to do without any problem. So Hashem, when he makes a promise, public promise, so Hashem will keep it. But when it's a private promise, as we see that Yaakov was afraid, because Yaakov was afraid that the Hashem is going to take away the promise. I Hashem promised. So maybe he didn't become worthy of it. It's like a parent promises a child something, and the child misbehaves. So the parent says, you lost the promise that I made, because you don't deserve it anymore. And that's what Yaakov was afraid. But even then, it bothered him that he was afraid. It still bothered him that he was afraid. But there's a lot more to talk about. We're going to leave the rest of this for next time.
Rabbi, if the promise was not conditional, it was without condition, already promised for some other things, what will he do? He still can take it away?
Sometimes Hashem can take it away.
Hashem
can sometimes take it away. Hashem can sometimes take it away. Because even, you have to still be a vessel for it.